Oh, look at that. You're on it, Nick. All right. Well, good morning. Whose kid's crying? Is that my granddaughter? I love the sound of crying babies. If you're visiting with us, we love kids in our services. We have things for them. But if you're a visitor and you don't want you put your kid, they're not comfortable going back for a first time, we love the noise of kids in this auditorium. Amen?
Amen.
That's the right answer. Yeah, I grew up in churches where kids were kind of like they're seen, not heard kind of mentality, and I don't hold to that at all. I love the energy of children and young people, and so I just pray that you all feel welcome this morning. We are doing Advent this morning, so we have Carrie and Teresa and their family can come up and light our candle this morning. So today is the angel candle representing peace. And so we've been doing this for this is our fourth week. Anybody remember what the first candle, what it is and what it represents? Hope, and what was the angel? What was the candle, its hope, but what was the, there's also something else, what? Prophecy, right. What was the second one? Faith, and what candle is that representing? I mean, I know it's faith, but what was the other thing attached to it? It's a town name. Bethlehem, there you go. And last week was what? And that was what candle? You know, we usually have little kids dressed in bathrobes. Shepherd, there you go. Well, I'm glad you guys are listening. Pastor Michael will be very happy. All right, and today is angel candle and representing peace. And so they're going to read the scripture that was read last week, so it kind of encompasses both the shepherd and angels. So go ahead and start lighting. So you light all the candles, and then the tall purple one, the last. So, yeah, I know, it's awesome. Do you know how to work on a lighter? I mean, you are a girl. Boys play a fire. I know. I'm just teasing. He's kind of got rolled. That's a pain. It works. I tested it. There you go. You got it. Go ahead, read.
And there were shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over the flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests."
Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. I appreciate that. Let's just open with a word of prayer. Father God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you that we can just come here as your family, and we're celebrating Advent season, Father. We've gone through all these different memories of these different encounters of the prophecy and the shepherds, and where Bethlehem and today the angels and peace that we're going to talk about here in a few moments, Father. We just thank you that Jesus, because you came and you submitted yourself to your creation and all the things that happened after this moment that we're celebrating this week, Father, it's an amazing thing to think about. Without your coming, without the Prince of Peace coming, there would be no peace at all. And so, Father, I pray this morning as we sing these familiar Christmas carols and hymns, Father, that they wouldn't just be something that we're familiar with, that we know the words and we could probably sing without any words upon the screen, Father, but I pray that we really take the words to heart and that we would really sing them from a place of remembrance, a place of overwhelmed lives because of who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and worship.
Echoing their joyous dreams, glory.
Praise his holy name. Glory stream from heaven. thank you for that silent night. Lord, we thank you for the obedience of Mary, Lord, to bring forth a son and name him Jesus, Lord. We thank you for the humbling that Jesus, like the humbleness that it took to come and be a baby, Lord. To go from all powerful in this beautiful kingdom to being a baby, Lord, where he would have to learn how to speak, learn how to crawl, how to walk. He came down to creation to save us, Lord. He was a spotless lamb, Lord, and later on sacrificed for our sins because he knew we couldn't do it. We are not worthy of his love, but he called us worthy. Lord, we just thank you for your gift of your son. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Oh, children are going out? All right. Well, there's a Christmas party for the children, but the adults have to stay here. I'm sorry, no party for you. What? No, you definitely have to stay here. No. I love that our church is a family, but sometimes I get myself in trouble like this morning. I shouldn't have given Jen a hard time about not being a light the lighter. So help it in if anybody. I have a good relationship with her. I don't think I offended her, but when we're family, I have a tendency to tease people, and sometimes it comes across very callous, and I don't mean it to come across that way, so I just wanted to say that. Like, I probably shouldn't have done that. So I just wanted to say that first and foremost because I don't want to feel like, man, he's picking on kids in church. That's really weird. It's a problem when I have a relationship with people away from this position, and I have to really work at not teasing people from up here. So I apologize for that, and I will talk to her after. I don't think she was upset with me, but I just wanted to let you all know. I felt like I needed to say that for some reason. So anyway, there we go. Also, you know when you have conversations with someone else and then you think you've had conversations with everybody? I was told I did it one time in the last couple weeks, but we are having a Christmas Eve service. I know, last minute. I love this stuff. And I don't expect everybody to show up, but that's, you know, I know a lot of people do Christmas Eve, open presents, and do the big family gatherings. That's cool. I'll be from 6:30. If it goes an hour, I'd be surprised. I'm planning it's going to be like an unplugged. We're going to be back in the small auditorium unless, you know, tons of people show up, then we'll be out here. But regardless of who shows up, it's going to be unplugged. Patty will be on her guitar. We'll just be singing Christmas carols, and we'll light the Christ candle Friday night, and it'll just be a real intimate setting. So if you want to come at 6:30, I'd love to see you guys. But again, I understand Pastor Mark's really good at communication. So I apologize for the lateness of the notice, but somebody said I did announce at least once at some point, but that's not enough. I need to do a better job at that. What's that? No, in November? Was it November? Okay, well, anyway, I apologize for the lateness of notice. And I understand people have things already planned, and that's totally cool. So if it's just me by myself, I'll have a good time. So we are looking at the angel candle this morning, but more importantly, the focus is on peace. So like as Pastor Mike spoke last week, he defined, and I'm with him, I love looking what words mean and the definitions of them, and he gave us the definition of joy last week. And this week I was looking up the word peace. It's fascinating. If you go back to, I think, the very first scripture that he used on prophecy in that Isaiah passage. And let's just, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to that. We're going to look at that real quick. We were looking at these places of peace. So Isaiah chapter 9, I believe it's 9. Let me look at my notes real quick. Yep, Isaiah 9. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. And we read that weeks ago for the prophecy candle. And it's just fascinating, the different things here. So Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. And I love this. It goes back up to these names, what Jesus will be called. And one of these things is he will be called the Prince of Peace. And it was interesting, as I was looking up, I love looking up, if you pull up, and I've said this many times from here, one of my most favorite tools, my favorite tools of studying scripture is called Blue Letter Bible. It's online, it's a free deal, and it's full of all kinds of study helps, and it's absolutely free online. And it's awesome. I love it. But if you go in there and you plug in the word peace, it'll give you everywhere in scripture where the word peace is used. And what was fascinating is I was looking at it, when you look at the word for peace here in Isaiah, it's the word shalom. There's a few words in the Bible that can actually translate or use in their language, right? So this is the Hebrew word shalom is this peace. But when we go forward, which is interesting, and it's the thing that I think is kind of fascinating, I pulled up, I'm not this smart, I'm good at copying things. So this word shalom, it's interesting. I don't know why it just hit me this way. So it's the part of speech that shalom is a masculine noun, right? And then when we go forward in time, and it has all the same, when we look at all the different definitions, that's pretty much all the definition for the word peace is still pretty much the same. But it's interesting because when we go forward into Luke chapter 2, and we read verse 14 that was read this morning, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace among whom, with those whom he is pleased, it's a different word. It's the same meaning, but it's irene is the pronunciation. That's a Greek. I'm probably pronouncing it wrong for those Greek theologians out there. All right, but that's the word, and it's a feminine noun. Interesting. So we have a masculine noun and a feminine noun. Maybe it's just me, right? But here's the word peace. It has both masculine and feminine parts of speech. But to me, I don't think it's just parts of speech, right? Because we know we're created in God's image, right? It's both masculine and feminine. I don't know how that all works, right? But it does because he's God. I don't know. Maybe it's not fascinating to you. What's fascinating to me, and I just love this. So this definition of peace from Strong's is security, safety, prosperity. And here's the thing I thought was interesting, because peace and harmony make and keep things safe and prosperous. I thought it was interesting. We only have peace is what makes things, peace and harmony makes things safe and prosperous. And we can see that when we look it out in our world today. There's not a lot of peace happening. There's not a lot of peace happening inside the doors of churches today, because they're separated over doctrine, they're separated over social issues, they're separated over so many things, and they're not focusing on the Prince of Peace. And if we look at the Prince of Peace and we look at all the things that Jesus is, and we think about what he came to do, and we think about his submission to be born into his own creation, that's a pretty powerful thing to think about. You want to think about the Prince of Peace. Peace also means freedom from agitation, disturbance by passions, as from fear, terror, anger, anxiety, or the like. Quietness of mind, tranquility, calmness, quiet of conscience. All these definitions of peace. And I love that word irene. It says peace literally or figuratively, by implication, prosperity, one, peace, quietness, rest, set at one again. I love that. Set at one again. So all these different definitions when we think of peace, whether we're using the word shalom or whether we're thinking of the word irene, which I would, most of us think shalom, we think peace, right? Would anybody think irene? I will now. But I when I always think about peace, I always think about the Hebrew word shalom. And that's very used a lot from what I've seen in the Jewish culture. It's almost a greeting or a leaving of each other. Shalom, which means peace with you or peace be upon you. That's a really cool thing. But we're talking about this peace and the interactions that these people had in the story we've been looking at for the last couple weeks. And we think about all the different encounters, with Joseph and the angel. And he's like, man, don't freak out. And he came to Joseph in a dream. And then we think about Mary, and she had the Gabriel came and talked to her, right? And he's like, calm down, it's all good. But what was fascinating when you go back and actually, and I know we've already read some of that, but it's fascinating when you go back and read those encounters, she wasn't upset. I don't see that she was upset. That's not what she was upset about. She wasn't upset that the angel showed up. But it says in Luke chapter 1, verse 29, but she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. She wasn't freaking out because the angel just popped up in front of her and, yeah, I'm Gabriel. She's like, man, what you're saying is kind of, that's interesting. Let me think about that. So these different encounters. So Joseph has this encounter with an angel. Mary has this encounter with this angel. The shepherds, Pastor Mike talked about last week, has this encounter with this heavenly host. And he talked about a lot of the things that I think about when I think about these angels, right? The one showed up in the dead of night. And then this heavenly host that we can't even imagine. I think the horizon was lit up from horizon to horizon. I think it was amazing, right? And I always think crazy things, too. I think that, you know, this heavenly host that showed up, I always think, oh, maybe it's kind of weird to think about, but was there a sign-up sheet in heaven? Like, all right, who wants to go down and, you know, be in the choir that gets to celebrate and blow these shepherds' minds, you know, tonight, right? I don't know, but I don't think the angels are these mindless, you know, robots up in heaven. I don't see God creating anything that boring, right? So I think there was a scramble on the sign-up sheet and kind of this, oh, man, I'm going to go talk to God and say maybe I can get a good word in so I can go down and be part of this celebration. I don't know. Is that a crazy thing to think about? I don't think so. Right? Because it's like, I think, you know, Gabriel got to come to these major encounters with Joseph and Mary and others. But it's fascinating as I was studying this morning and over looking over again over my notes, there were some other encounters that took place. And it's fascinating. We focus, and we as we should, with about Jesus and Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and the wise men. But there's some other players going on at the same time. And in Luke chapter 1, there's another encounter that a guy has with Gabriel again. And that's Zechariah. Zechariah, does anybody know who Zechariah is? Who's Zechariah? Well, he's a priest, but whose dad was he? John who? Why do we call him John the Baptist? Because I don't see anywhere in Scripture where it says John the Baptist. That just dawned on me this morning. It's like, why do we call him? I get because he baptized people. I think it's where he got his name, right? But when Gabriel comes to Zechariah, I think it's kind of fascinating because Gabriel comes to Zechariah, just like he did Mary, and has this conversation about how he's going to have this son. And Zechariah is like, okay, well, how is this going to be? I'm an old man, right? Anybody remember what the angel, what Gabriel did to Zechariah when he questioned? He shut his mouth. And I know most of you women are going, man, that'd be really nice. Gabriel show up and shut my husband's mouth until, you know, right? You ever have those days? You guys are quiet today. Yes? No? Okay. I guess that's just my wife. Anyway. But I love it. He comes and is like, man, because you didn't listen, and there's a whole study you can do there because it seems like he just asked a question. Mary just asked a question, and he didn't shut her mouth up. So there must have been a difference in the question, right? And so he shuts him up, and then he has to try to communicate about this foretelling of his son being born. And I love that encounter. And he has this encounter, and he takes away his ability to speak. And then we come into this place of chapter 1, verses 57, and we're not going to read all this, 57 through 66, and he's given back his ability to speak. And it's fascinating. I didn't read a lot. I didn't think about this a lot, but back in this culture, it's probably still true today, names mean a lot, right? They don't go through a book of names like we do and like, oh, that one sounds cool, I like the name of that. I only see that because of what Scripture tells me, because they were expecting, even though he wasn't speaking, when John was born, they were like, oh, all right, we're going to call him Zechariah after his dad. And Zechariah is like, no, give me something to ride on. his name is John. And they were like, who's John? John's not a family name. What's this John character, right? And so he's finally given the ability to speak, and then he goes into this prophetic word over his son that was given to him by the Holy Spirit. And his prophetic word is verses 67 through the end of the chapter there. But one of the things I want us to look at here is a couple verses in this prophecy, his prophetic word over his son, John. So it's in Luke chapter 1, in verse 76. And you, child, he's referring to John, will be called the prophet of the Most High. For you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people, in the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercies of our God. Thereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the ways of peace. What a prophecy to speak over your son. Here's John, he's just born, he's been given this commission already by God, by the Holy Spirit, saying, you're going to be a prophet. I mean, it's one thing as a parent to go, man, I would love for my kid to be in full-time ministry. It's a good prayer if that's what Father's telling you to pray. But not everybody's supposed to be in full-time ministry like I am up here this morning. Now, we're all called to be in full-time ministry, by the way. Amen? That's the right answer. But the specific call on John's life, this is pretty specific. You're proud for the most high. You're going to be going to prepare his ways. You're going to give knowledge of salvation. I mean, he's been given all this stuff prophesied over his life before he can even talk. It's pretty cool, isn't it? Right? But what hit me as I read through this, and Father led me to this week, was these words. Because of his tender mercy of God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high. I don't know why that phrase hit me. The sunrise. We think of the sunrise today's a little cloudy. But when we have a clear day and the sun's already up. But I'm saying we can actually see the sunrise and we take pictures of the sunrise and all that. I don't think that's what this is talking about. I mean, think about the sunrise shall visit us from on high and give light to those who sit in darkness in the shadow of death to guide our feet into the way of peace. I mean, think about that. As I was thinking about this, the sunrise shall visit us from on high. I don't know, it's been years since I've been out doing it, but I remember I think it was out one fall hunting with Doug. Yeah, it's cold, cold, dark morning, and then the sunrise comes up. And I don't know if you've ever had one of those uncomfortable nights, you can't find there's a rock in your back or whatever, and you just can't sleep, and you're just, God, please let it get daylight so I can get up and start a fire or whatever, right? And when that sun finally comes up and it starts to warm up, well, first it gets really cold first. I don't know what that's about. And then it gets warm, right? But I just remember that first light of day, and then it gets lighter. And it's like, man, just sitting there, just like, man, that's a really cool scene out here where there might be a few birds chirping, and how cool it is to see the sun come up after a dark night of restless sleep or whatever. I mean, that's a weird illustration, I suppose, but the same kind of thing is I've had those moments when we've had those darkness of souls of night where we're just like wrestling with some really deep things in our life. And man, God, just show up. And then the sunrise breaks through. Whether a revelation from him or we're actually wrestling that night and we finally get up and the day is beautiful and God just shows up. And we're visited from the sunrise from on high. And it gives light to when we're sitting in that place of darkness and in the shadow of death. You ever been there? You ever been in that place of the shadow of death and you've been in that place where there doesn't seem to be any light? I have. Man, I've been in those places. And there's not a lot of peace going on in those places. But I think about these encounters that these people had back in this moment of time, and I think about, and it's such a beautiful example of, because he reached so many different places. He talked to mothers, he talked to fathers, he talked to these shepherds, he talked to everybody in these different ways. And it's like, man, I've got peace for you. I've got this sunrise from on high coming. I've got that's going to shine light into the darkness of your soul, the darkness of what you're going through. He's got the answers. Right? And why? Because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And I think in Isaiah, didn't it all say, it's not going to end. He's not going to run out of peace to give you. Right? We run out of peace to give each other because we're relying on the wrong source. When I run out of patience, when I run out of peace, it's because I'm focusing on the wrong thing. I'm focusing on my circumstances. Like Pastor Mike talked about last week, joy is not about circumstances. Joy is about choice we make. Peace is about diving into the Prince of Peace and letting his peace get in and on us. He's got all the peace we could possibly need, and we're running around going, but man, I'm really stressed out. And he goes, I'm sorry, that's your choice. I know I'm making it really simple, and I don't like it that simple because I want it to be harder because then I'll have an excuse not to dive into it, right? But he's made it really simple. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the way of peace. And these angels saying to the shepherds, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace among those whom he is pleased. We need this peace. Because if we don't grasp this, if we don't really understand what this looks like in our own lives, there's no way in the world we can give it to a world that definitely is living in darkness and in the shadow of death. I run across these people every single week. I have a friend that I talk to every single week that's living in a really dark place, and I get these moments to speak into their life, and they're just it's like I'm speaking a different language. And we have these conversations, and I wouldn't call them arguments, but it's just I'm not trying to convince them, but I am, because you can live in a different place. You can live in a different place when you have the life of Jesus in your life, when you have and you understand who Jesus is, and you come back to this place where he came and he interacted with his creation in this point in time. But you know what? He still comes and interacts with us. Maybe we don't have a Gabriel moment where he shows up at the foot of our bed. Maybe you do. That's awesome, right? To my knowledge, I haven't had that encounter yet. Or with any angels for that matter. But I know that he still shows up like that. And he still wants us to give us this sense, not this sense, it's not a sense, it's not a feeling, it's not just a word. Peace has got to be more than that. Because Jesus is peace. It's just not something that he is. It's just not a descriptor. It's who he is. Just like he's love, just like he's everything else. His peace is not just a, it's not like a shirt I'm wearing that I can take on and off. His peace is part of his, I don't know if Jesus has DNA, but he is part of who he is, right? To the very core of his existence. If he hasn't, it's really where we use these words to define a God, right? The world needs us to live in this place of peace. And there's scripture that talks, there's all kinds of scripture. If you go there, it's like over 200 and some odd times the word peace is used throughout scripture. But every single time I see it, it's peace through Jesus Christ. It's not peace through anything else. It's peace through the person of Jesus Christ. Just going to look at just a few places here in the New Testament. Just again, it's this idea. That's not an idea. I got to stop using those words because that makes it not enough. This reality of peace. And we use the word, especially those who have been in church a long time, this is all pretty familiar. But as long as I've been a Christian, as long as I've been doing this, and even again this week as I was really focusing on peace, it's like, it seems like, I don't know about you, but when you focus on something, it seems like you really have a really tough week. Anybody have that happen where you're like, oh God, I should probably look at patience. I don't ever try to do that. But every time I do, I have one of the most frustrating weeks on the planet, right? That test that. And the same thing with peace. Like, well, okay, I'm studying about peace and this encounter that the angels have with these people in this point in time in Scripture. And I'm like, where's your peace this week, Sager? Yeah, but that, I'm talking about that. He's like, no, but you have to get in it first. You can say anything about it. And so it's been a really interesting week or two where just this idea of like this reality of, okay, how do I saturate myself in this place of peace? I understand the Scripture, the few verses we're going to look at here in a moment. You know, I know some of these verses. They're very familiar to me. But how much do I really get into it? So in Acts chapter 10, verse 36, we're not going to dive into it because I can make messages out of all these verses, but I'm just going to read them. That's it. I'm going to try. All right. Acts 10, 36. And for the word of God that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through who? Nick let me down. Through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. Peace through Jesus Christ, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ. Do you think that would not be good news for people? Maybe some of us sitting in this room this morning. That's good news to know that we have peace through Jesus Christ. Not peace through our government, not peace through the check that we get because we work, not peace through the relationships that we have, as good as they may be. They all will fail us at some point. But I guarantee you, because I've lived it and I've tested it over and over and over again, the peace of my Lord Jesus Christ will never run out. And when I'm smart enough and finally surrender to that, I live in a really good place. I live in a place of like, it does, when we live in this and we saturate ourselves with this good news of the peace of Jesus Christ, it does make us feel better. So it does turn into emotion. It does turn into feelings. It does turn into all those things. But first we have to come to the point where like, I have to believe that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And I will not have any peace if I try to do it without him or find any other kind of way to do it, because there isn't any other kind of way to do it. I mean, how many years have we heard, you know, peace in the Middle East, right? It's this catchphrase and slogan. That'd be awesome. What would it take? For both sides to finally surrender, not to any foreign power, but to Jesus Christ, and go, you know what? At the end of the day, we're all related. Right? We were studying about that Saturday at men's breakfast, right? Isaac and Ishmael, right? Started way back there. But what about peace in our own homes? Yes, we today can't probably influence much of over there in the Middle East other than pray and all those kinds of things. But and it's easy to look at those kinds of things, but what about the turmoil in your own home? What about the turmoil between a husband and wife relationship? I'm saying this good news is not good news if the people who should be living in it don't understand it. If we as children of God who have his word and we claim to be followers of his and we claim to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, if we don't even believe this good news at the core of our existence, we got no good news to say to anybody. Our families will not change. Our marriages will not get better. Our kids will, you know, not be, you know, who they are created to be, because we as parents aren't pouring into them in this place that we need to. Because I guarantee you, when we get this and we really understand this place of peace and we really understand our identity in Christ, we'll have times when we as adults and parents are going through some really dark days. Our kids will ask us and go, "Hey, Dad, can I ask you a question?" I'm like, "Sure. Who are you?" And I knew what she was asking, because that actually happened last week. My daughter asked me that. "Who are you, Dad?" And I knew what she was asking, because I poured into her, her mother and I poured into her since she was little, all of our kids. We made them say who they were before they got out of the car to go to school. They had to tell us their name, that they were the Mark and Devon, they were, you know, a daughter or son of Mark and Devon Sager, and they were a prince and a princess of the Lord Most High. They had to say that. That's what she was asking me. I knew that's what she was asking me, but I didn't want to talk about it. It's like, I know what you want, right? And trust me, Devon and I have screwed up a lot of things. I'm not saying we're the epitome of the right parents, so please don't think that at all. But what I'm saying is we have learned what it is to tap into who Jesus Christ is. And we haven't done it perfectly by any stretch of the imagination. But when we step into this place of peace, we have something good. And when our children come back and repeat as become part of their life, wow, that's a success to me. I'll take that all day long. I'll take that all day long when my children have their own relationship with Jesus Christ and they know who this Prince of Peace is. But here's the thing, that should be all of us. The churches should be filled with husbands and wives that love each other to the point that, like, we're going to stick this out, we're going to dive into this Prince of Peace, because when we're operating in His peace, we don't got any problems. Because without the Prince of Peace, there is no peace at all. I will guarantee you trouble. I will guarantee you continued separation of families. I will continue the destruction of where our world is right now without the church diving in and getting serious about who this Prince of Peace is, because that's the good news that we are all about. Amen. That's what West Hill Community Church is all about. We are anointed to bring good news. And this is what it is. That we can introduce. Maybe we need to be reintroduced to the Prince of Peace this morning. And then when we get it to the point, and it's not arriving, so like, well, I'll tell people about when I've arrived. You're never going to get there, right? But when you understand that and you're operating in this place, then you can have those conversations, and people know your failures, and they see that. They see you continue to get back up and diving back into, but here's my Savior, because of what He did, He came into His own creation. When I reach that place of humility, and I don't know if I've ever reached that point, you want to talk about humility and submission. Come and be born as the weakest thing on the planet into the creation that you spoke into existence. We choose to live in places of fear. We choose to live in these places of destruction. We choose to live in these places of discord in relationships. I know that because when I choose what Father says so clearly and simply, when I live in that place, those things disappear. They have to. I don't have to work at it. I don't have to work at not being afraid when I'm at peace. I don't have to work at being angry when I'm living in the reality of the Prince and the peace of my Prince and Lord Jesus Christ. I don't have to work at it. It's just a side effect. It's a natural thing. And He's made it so simple, we complicate it. He gave us 2 commandments and we can't even do that. So, you know, on Saturday, we're going to get together and we're going to all exchange all these gifts. And it's going to be awesome and fun, and I love that. But what a greater gift be for all of us if we understood this. If we started living and operating in this place of absolute peace, where people would almost accuse you of being like, man, you're just being flippant, or you're being like, you're not in touch with reality. Thank God. I don't want your reality. Right? We got to live in this world. I get that, right? We can't just bury our heads in the sand, and I understand that, or have a Pollyanna way of thinking. That's a really old term, I understand. But there are days, like, why not? Why not choose to see the best? Why not choose to see people the way that God sees them? Why not see, like, how do I operate in peace so I can get peace on people that have no idea? How can I live in this place of really believing Philippians 4, 7, where it says we will have peace that surpasses all understanding? Right? I would love for the world to say, man, you're crazy. There's something wrong with you. Because you live in this la-la land of peace all the time, and aren't you aware of what's going on in the world? It's like, yeah, I am. I'm aware. And I'm okay with being called crazy and weird, and because I know who's in control. I know who the Prince of Peace is. I have a personal relationship with him, and so can you. And not only that, then on top of that, he sends and he gives us at that moment of saying yes to him, he gives us the Holy Spirit, which is a whole nother animal, right? He just gives us this all kinds of power, and we walk around like, oh, I'm so weak. No, you're not. I have to live in destruction and misery. No, you don't, because we get to have a relationship with the Prince of Peace, amen? Amen. Father God, this morning, these people that we looked at just briefly this morning, Father, they had an encounter with angelic hosts. They had an encounter, a couple of them had an encounter with Gabriel himself. I'm sure those are amazing moments. And if Gabriel ever came down and showed up in my office one morning or wherever I was at, that'd be an awesome encounter. Don't get me wrong. But I am so glad that even if none of that ever happens, I get to have Jesus, a relationship with you, and you are the Prince of Peace. And your peace doesn't run out. I can't exhaust it. All of us together, all the people around the world, can't begin to exhaust your peace. But Father, we need to live. We must live in this place. This reality, the good news that we possess, that the world so desperately needs to hear, that there is something different. There is something to look forward. There is someone that loves them so unconditionally, they can't wrap their mind around it. And regardless of their circumstances, regardless of their upbringing, regardless of the mistakes they made, regardless of the sin in their lives, regardless of whatever it is, they can still have a relationship with this Prince of Peace that will radically forever change their lives. So Father, not just in this next week, but Father, I pray every day moving forward for the rest of our lives until you take our final physical breath out of our bodies and we take our first eternal breath, we never cease to live in this place of this good news unapologetically saying, man, your life can't be different because mine is. Father, in this room this morning, I know there's turmoil going on. I can feel it. I know there's people under some really heavy weight because of loved ones being sick and all different kinds of things. There's people in relational turmoil, all these different things going on in this room right here this morning, Father. But you are the Prince of Peace. And Father, right now, we just ask, I ask, that each one of us, where we're sitting this morning, would just physically feel your peace flowing over our head like oil and just raining, dripping down, saturating us all the way to the soles of our feet. And we can go out and proclaim, Jesus, that you are the Prince of Peace. And there will be no end. Because in Isaiah said, the Lord of hosts will do this. And one thing I know, you have never failed me yet. You never will. When you say you will do something, you do it. Not always in my timetable, but you will do it. So may we trust Jesus in your peace this morning. that we have access to that could be ours for the asking.